We just need new power with God, amen?
Amen.
Need a better commitment than the old commitment that was God, amen? Amen. Been studying what Baptists believe, amen? We'll look at it again tonight, what Baptists believe. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 1. Last week we studied on number 7, the way of salvation. We believe Jesus Christ is the way, the one and only way of salvation. Tonight we want to look at regeneration. Boy, there's a big word, ain't it? Baptists believe in regeneration. What does that mean, regeneration? Well, it means to give fresh life to by the grace of God. We believe that God is able to take a dirty, wretched, vile sinner and birth him into the family of God, or regenerate him, amen, to give him a fresh life. It means to go from the natural state to the spiritual state. I was dead in trespasses and sin, but when he saved me, he made me alive. He regenerated me, okay? All right. This is our statement tonight. We believe that in order to be saved, every sinner must be regenerated or born again. That the agents in this new birth are the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. That these two work together in the heart and mind, bringing conviction of sin and thus conversion. That proper evidence appears in the holy fruits of repentance, faith, and newness of life. That by it we become partakers of divine nature and a transformed life, leading us to a Christian love of all men and to practice righteousness, that one is born again or regenerated the moment he believes in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. That's regeneration. There's a lot to that. Let's break it down. We want to start by saying this. Everything tonight will start with the letter A. I believe regeneration starts when we, A, accept Jesus Christ as Savior. Amen. The Bible tells us plainly, Jesus said this now, you must be born again. That's regeneration. You must be born again. What does that mean? Why do we have to be born again? If you want to go to heaven, you must be born again. Now, preacher, what do you mean to be born again? Look at 1 John 5:1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. 1 John 5:1. You see that? Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. You cannot be born again until you believe on the name of Jesus Christ, His works upon the cross, His burial, and His resurrection from the dead. Believing in that, repenting of sin, you can be born again. It's all placed, all faith is placed in the merits of Jesus Christ upon the cross. Regeneration starts with A. I'm going to try to move quick tonight. Starts with A, accepting Christ as Savior. Number two, regeneration is worked by B, the agents of the new birth. Who are the agents of the new birth? What does that mean? Who are the workings? Who are the ones that are doing the birthing here? Well, if we'll turn over to John, the book of John, chapter number 1, verse number 12. New birth, what does that mean? Regeneration. It means to be born again or to be born from above. We want to say this tonight. We believe the agents of the new birth are, number 1, the will of God. I don't believe anybody can be saved outside it being the will of God for them to be saved. I do believe the Bible teaches that it is the will of God that all people should be saved. Over there in Peter, he said this, that he's long-suffering to usward and not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's God's will that all people be saved. Yet, not all people have been saved or will be saved. You see, I believe that this Bible teaches that God created all men and all women. And He gave each and every one of them a soul. And when the age of accountability comes, he has given unto them the choice to receive him or reject him. I do not believe that he has predestined some for heaven and predestined some to hell, although he knows who will go and who won't. He has given us the choice. The Bible did say, whosoever will may come. Amen? Now looking in John chapter 1, verse number 12 and verse number 13, we see the will of God in action. It is His will that mankind would be saved. Verse number 12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Someone believing on the name of Jesus, putting faith in Christ's works upon the cross, they become a child or a son of God. That's what that verse says. But as many as received Him, what does that mean? To be saved. To receive Him as Savior. To them gave He power to become the sons of God. He has adopted us by the Spirit of adoption. Adoption is a wonderful thing. You know that on earth, a man and a woman can have a child and can one day write them out of the will if they so choose. That'd be a bad thing, but it could happen. But one that has been adopted cannot be written out of the will, legally speaking. He said, are you sure about that, preacher? Oh, I'm positive. You see, it's by the power of adoption. When you have when you have adopted one, that means you have chosen them to be yours. When you had your children, you didn't get to choose. God gave them to you. I want to say this, when we got saved, God chose us. It wasn't just happenstance or circumstance. It was God choosing us. He chose to save us, and He chose to save the world. Many folks, though, that have been chosen may reject even though chosen. By divine will He chose, but by man's will they may reject His message. Read the next verse. Which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. In other words, it's when you got saved, it was God's perfect will for you to be saved. I mean, the night you got saved, the day you got saved, was your day. God had determined that you was going to be saved. You know, your whole life, if I had a big board and I laid it on this centerpiece right here, your whole life was teeter-tottering on one point. Salvation. Jesus Christ. For me, it was July the 13th, 1978. It was on a Thursday, if I remember right, in revival meeting. What about for you? Was it on a Sunday? Was it on a Monday? Tuesday? What about a Wednesday? Maybe some of you like me on a Thursday, a Friday, or a Saturday. That was your day when you got saved. And when you got saved, it was by the perfect will of God. The Bible said, it's not by the will of blood, not by the will of the flesh, not by the will of man, but by the will of God. That is the agent of salvation. Not only is it the will of God, but I believe it's by the Word of God. Amen? The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Not only was it the will of God that you be saved, but you got saved by the Word of God. What do you mean, preacher? Somebody told you about Jesus. Amen. And you wouldn't know Jesus. Listen, you would have never known were it not for the Word of God. Turn me to the book of James, chapter number 1. James, chapter number 1, verse number 18. James 1:18. In James 1:18, we see the will of God and we see the Word of God, which worked for our salvation. James 1:18. I'll say this. Where I used to pastor, there's a bunch of people got mad at me because I was preaching out of the book of James. They wouldn't put on everybody's car while I was in there preaching, your preacher's preaching a lie. The book of James don't belong in the Bible. Let me say this. Now, the book of James is in the perfect will of God to be a part of the perfect Word of God. I just want to pop this into their house in case some of them was to get it by tape tonight. Amen. That James is still in the Bible. Amen. And it's not going to be cut out. Why, preacher, why is it they don't like the book of James? Because it tells you that you can't work your way for salvation. You've got to come by faith. And there's a crowd don't believe that. But we're looking at James 1:18. Of His own will begot He us. Now what does that word begot mean? It means to be born. Amen. By His own will He birthed us, is what He's saying. With the word of truth. Not only was it the will of God for you to be saved, but it was by the word of God for you to be saved. That we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Now what does that mean? Man, hear me, has been blessed with a soul. When you and I are saved by His will, through His word, we're His first fruits. Amen? Going to heaven, thank God. Going to heaven by the will and the word of God. What else, preacher? Not only by the will of God, not only by the word of God, but I believe by the work of God. It was, my friend, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who said, my Father and I are one. Amen? It was the work of God upon the cross that saved us. It was the work of God through the gift of the Holy Ghost that night. No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. It was the drawing, the witnessing power of God's Holy Ghost that got us. It wasn't the preacher. It wasn't the deacon. It wasn't the singing. No, it was the Holy Spirit of God that got us and drew us. It was Holy Spirit conviction and it's Holy Spirit conversion or it's not real. Amen? Preacher, you got any scripture for that? Well, let's go to 1 Peter while we're here real close. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Verse number 22. Now, I'm going to tell you, we've studied about the Holy Spirit of God. And I'm going to read you out of the book of John while you're finding 1 Peter. Now, you just wait on me. This is the Holy Spirit's work. Now, I'm not reading 1 Peter yet. We're reading John. You just listen. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He has come, who's that? The Holy Spirit. When He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Why's people going to hell? Is it murder? Is it alcohol? Which we're getting ready to try to vote against? No. It is rejection of Jesus Christ. Not believing His message. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. The job of the Holy Spirit of God is to convict sinners of sin. And to bring the message of hope to a sinner to say, you're a sinner going to hell, but Jesus has shed His blood that you might be saved. Thank God for the conviction and the conversion of the Holy Spirit of God upon man. Look at verse 22 of 1 Peter 1. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. What's that mean, unfeigned? It means without hypocrisy. It means genuine and true. Oh, let's look at that verse again then. The Bible says, seeing you have purified your souls. We need to be purified because we were sinners. You purified your souls in obeying the truth. What's the truth? The Word of God. Through the Spirit unto genuine, unfeigned love of the brethren. One way you'll know if somebody's really saved, they'll be lovers of the brotherhood. What if you see somebody that ain't, preacher? I'd mark him. Because something ain't right. It's what the Bible says. Didn't I tell it right? That's right. I remember one time, let me tell you this. Good friend of mine named Tony Fowler. Y'all know him. I've had Brother Tony over here to preach for me many times before. And I remember we went to him one time and went through the Psalms and we said, Brother Tony, we didn't know your name was in the Bible. He said, it is. I said, yeah. He said, I know it's in the Lamb's Book of Life, but I didn't know it was in the Bible. He said, well, it is. And that preacher got out the Bible and said, the Bible says that the Lord has delivered me from the snare of the fowler. Two or three weeks went by and we was all gathered together again, kind of giving Brother Tony a hard time. And my friend's name was Mark. And he walked up to him, he said, your name's in the Bible too. He said, it is. He said, it sure is. He said, mark them which cause division. That's what the Bible says. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. Remember a few weeks back we studied about incorruptible, what that means? What that means? What that means? What that means? That there's not a chance, not a chance that it could be corrupted. Remember I told you I could take this plate, and it's pretty and shiny and looks like gold, but if I set out in the weather, somebody could run over it. It could get wet, and it might change its appearance, and it would be corrupted. But God said incorruptible means that there's not a chance that it'll ever change. The Bible says you and I were born again by incorruptible seed. Not a chance the Word of God's ever going to change. Not a chance His message or His way, His will or His Word or His work will ever change. Bible says, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. You go down there to the library and check out a book. It's just a book with ink typed on the pages. But what you have in your lap, ladies and gentlemen, is life. It is the living, breathing word of God. Spirit filled. It is alive. How do you know? Because it talks to me. Now hear me, the natural man don't know what I'm talking about. But for you that are saved and spiritual, you know what it means to take the Word of God and have it encourage you and lift your very spirit. Why? Because it's alive. The Bible said it's always alive. It's ever living and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Thank God for the work of God through the Holy Spirit, through the word of God, through the blood of Jesus, straight to me and you, that we might be saved from a devil's hell. Hallelujah to God. Amen. What else, preacher? Well, I want to remind you this. The Bible still says, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Unless there is real conviction of your sin and conversion, being born again, you cannot go to heaven. You must be born again. You must be regenerated. What else, preacher? Well, I believe that godly sorrow still worketh repentance. Hey, turn with me. 2 Corinthians 17. Godly sorrow still worketh repentance toward salvation which shall not be repented of. Let's look at that. 2 Corinthians 7:10. This kind of points back to last week. Remember we said it's impossible for someone that's saved, really, truly born again by the blood of Jesus, to get lost. Because He said, you're in my hand. I don't have to hold on to Him. He's holding on to me.
For me to be lost again is saying, well, he's able to lose me. He is not. Look with me at 2 Corinthians 7:10. This is a backup verse to what we were studying last week and ties to where we are tonight in the ages of the new birth. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. What does that last little thought, not to be repented of, means? It means once you've been saved, you don't have to renew salvation. You may have to get forgiveness of sin, but it's not a loss of salvation. You follow me? You agree? But the sorrow of the world worketh death. There then is a difference between worldly sorrow. My job's not going good. I didn't get the pay raise I wanted. So-and-so mistreated me. There is a difference between godly sorrow, a worldly sorrow, and godly sorrow. Godly sorrow over our sin, our shame, our contrition, because of the way we've treated him and the way we've lived our lives. Been times in the altar I shed tears with a broken heart of godly sorrow. And thank God for forgiveness. And I knew inside my heart that when I confessed my sin, he was still just and faithful to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And I could go home forgiven. Glory to God. See, I believe with all my heart that if we're regenerated, there will be, see, the appearance of new fruit. Don't you? I believe if somebody really gets saved, you'll know it. How, preacher? You'll see it. Well, judge not that you be not judged. Right. But Jesus also said, we can inspect the tree. What kind of fruit it's got. In other words, if I was going along and saw an apple tree, and it had cherries and plums hanging on it, something's messed up with that apple tree. By their fruits, you shall know them. Ain't that what it says? Yeah, that's what it says. But thank God for an apple tree that bears apples. Amen. Go with me then to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4. Ephesians, chapter number 4. I want to say there will be new fruit. There will be evidence that somebody's really been saved. Remember now, we're going to build off this thought then on the appearance of new fruit. If any man be in Christ, that means if he's been saved, if he's been born again, by the will, by the work, and by the word of God, through the Holy Spirit, under the blood, if he's really born again, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Do you believe that? When somebody gets saved, the old man goes away. He's gone. Listen, the old man's done away with, and the new man has appeared. Do you believe that? Yet I'm going to tell you that the old man may try to creep back in it. There is a war inside us between the flesh and the spirit. Who's going to win, preacher? The one you stay sick 'em to. The one you feed's the one who's winning. Amen. You take two dogs. You put them side by side. You feed one of them once a day, and the other three times a day. Which one will be bigger? I'm talking to you now. Which one will be bigger? The one that's fed three times a day. Now the one we say sick them to, the one we say let's feed that. Be careful not to spend too much time feeding the flesh and not enough time feeding the Spirit. Amen? We're then in Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Well, what is at the bottom of sin? What is it? The love of money is the root. That's what the Bible says. It say money was, but the love of, or greediness. Let's read on. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Do you know there's deceitful lust inside of us tonight?
Amen, preacher, that's a good point.
And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Tells me then, if I'm saved and I'm lying, that it wasn't my saved spirit that was doing that, was my fleshly tongue from the old man wanting to tell lies, wanting to spread gossip, having deceitful lust. That's the old man. But when we got saved, God said, you're a new creature. You are. You're saved. Got a new man. But you got to be careful which one you put off and which one you put on. Because we're all still in the flesh, even though saved, spiritually speaking. Paul had that trouble. He said, when I know to do good, I find that I do evil. Oh, wretched man that I am, what Paul said. You and I have the same problem. We get to talking, and somehow we just talk a little too much. I'll just say a little. But we talk a little too much. And get off the phone or whatever conversation we're having, and get in the car, or get ready to go to bed and say, oh, I might have said too much. What do you mean might have said too much? If something told you you might have said too much, I can assure you, you probably did. What should you do? Get out of the bed. Get on your knees and confess your sin. And then say, Lord, help me next time. Because I can assure you what you've said, you can't get back. It's gone. Somebody done got it and run off with it and done told somebody else that you said it. Ooh, what a problem. Got to be careful then. You've got a new life. And when we're looking for fruit to see if you're really saved and if I'm really saved, we're going to see if the apple is really on the apple tree. If I'm saved, I ought not to be alive. And a cussing and a lusting deceitfully ought to be doing some other things. Like what, preacher? Well, turn with me back over here to the book of Galatians, just a couple chapters back. Stay with me there in Ephesians 5:9. Let's read a verse while we're there. Ephesians 5:9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and true, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. What does that mean? Rebuke them. Get rid of them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which were done of them in secret. Boy, I tell you what. You've got to be careful sometimes when we get in the church house and say, boy, I tell you, I'm glad I ain't the way I used to be. And then run off and tell the way it used to be. That's a shame. Don't you agree? I mean, thank God that's done away with, and I'd rather not discuss it. We'd be better off, some of us, not to know what we used to do. Amen. In our wilder days. Amen. Just say, thank God I'm saved, and He delivered me from a lot. Good enough. Let's go on. Amen. Galatians then, chapter number 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Now it's going to give you the works of the flesh. That's the old man: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderings, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I believe somebody that's really saved, if they're doing these things, will get under conviction and get on their face before God and get forgiven of that thing, or they're probably not really saved. But a lot of things fool me. Hey, just because the preacher thinks you're saved don't mean you are. Just because you got baptized so many times down here in the bend of the river, so many times the tadpoles knows your first name, don't mean you're saved. Just because you carry a King James Bible on your lap, don't mean you're going to heaven. Just because Grandpa's been faithful to this church, don't mean you're in. You can fool me, you can fool everybody, but God knows. And you know who else knows? You do too. You do too. Because the Spirit of God's told you, don't deny it. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now he said fruit. Didn't say fruits, plural, did he? Said fruit. Fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Everything else stems from love. Everything stems from love. God is love. If God's in you, you've got love in you. Amen. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. We come in here, we've got our rooster tails up, and just saying, look at me, I'm a blessing to everybody. Here I am. Something's wrong. I've been around some people that thinks when they get in the service and they stand up to sing that we ought to swing from the chandeliers because they're here. I ain't swinging from the chandeliers for none of us. Uh-uh. And you don't swing from the chandeliers for me. If I'm going to swing from the chandeliers, when God says grab the chandelier and hang on and shout it out, amen. That's right. Guarantee you this crowd that runs around says, well, I'm here and everybody's blessed. Let's go home. That's messed up. That's wrong. Amen. You love. Don't you think so? I mean, I used to love the world, but now I love the Lord. 1 John chapter number 4, verse number 7. A new love. I'm almost done already. Thank God it's 10 to 8. Boyens is ready to go home, tickled to death. Hang on now. Bible says here in 1 John 4, 7, we're going to have a new love. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God. Do you see that? If you're born of God, that means if you're born again, if you believe Jesus is the Christ and you're born of God, if you've been regenerated, you'll have love in you. That's what it said. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. Verse number 10. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. I like that, don't you? Verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love,
thank God. That means I believe if we love one another, I can run up here and preach to you the truth without fear. Or that you're going to throw a tomato at me and hit me with a rock. That I'm trying to preach to you the truth in love and you'll respond to that love. That's based on the Word of God. There is no, you hear me, wives and husbands. If you really love each other the way you do ought to, there is no fear in love. You can talk to each other. So many people talk to me and say, well, I can't really talk to him. Either he don't listen, or is there love present like it ought to be? I'm hoping it's the listening part, amen? Right, well, let's read on. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. Oh, preacher, I'm mad. You shouldn't have said that about me. That's the Word of God. And my friend, if you shake your bony fist at me, you're shaking it at God over that scripture. He said, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. I mean love with unfeigned love, not hypocritical. I mean A number one, genuine love. And if it ain't present, it's a plum on an apple tree. Don't look good, and the world even sees that. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him. What's that mean, preacher? End of that verse. Everyone that loveth him that begot. In other words, if we love him that has birthed us, if we love the Father, he's the one that's birthed us. We love the Father, we would also love those that he's also birthed. That's our brothers and sisters in Christ. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, there'll be love mutually between us. If not, it's a plum on the apple tree and something ain't right. Amen. I believe when you get saved, there'll be a new love. Turn with me to Acts 16 real quick. I believe, fifthly, I want to give you an example of regeneration. There was a Philippian jailer, and Paul and Silas had been taken into the prison. And they were beaten and bloodied and bludgeoned and were locked up and imprisoned in that jail cell. Probably the jailer had probably taken the whip and beaten them himself. I would say as he was beating them, he had no love for them whatsoever. Would you say that's true? I believe when a man's born again, I believe when he's regenerated, there will be a change in his life. You will see fruit. There will be an appearance of Christ in his life that the world can see. The jailer beat those boys and locked them up. But we remember that God, through Paul and Silas, praying and singing praises unto God in the midnight hour, sent an earthquake. And the jail cells opened. Paul and Silas said, there's an open door. Every open door is open to God. We better go through it. No. They said, the door's open, but we ain't going nowhere. Because God didn't tell us to go through the door that's open. You hear me? Every door that's open ain't meant for you to go through. Those boys stayed at home, and the jailer could have shut the door and saved his life, but what'd he do? He ran in, called for light, and fell down the floor and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said, if you believe Jesus Christ, you can be saved. You know what happened? He got saved. And he took those boys. Look with me down in verse number 33. This is after he got saved. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. The same man that beat them earlier in the day is the same man that took them and washed their stripes. What happened? Somebody got saved.
Before, there's a beating and a cussing and a cutting flips for the world. And now that they got saved, they take the men of God and get them out of the jail cell and wash their stripes and say, tell me again about Jesus. Tell my family about Jesus. And the whole family got saved. And the Bible says they rejoiced. That's what it said. They rejoiced. They were thankful. I see a change. Regeneration. New birth has taken place. Oh, you can always tell somebody really got it. There'll be a change from the old man to the new. I believe then it's an abrupt regeneration. What's abrupt mean? A sudden change, instantaneous, happening in a single moment or in the twinkling of an eye. I believe when somebody gets saved, they are saved right then. I believe as soon as they put faith in Christ, they are a child of God right then. I do not believe they have to wait 3 years. I do not believe they have to wait 6 months. I do not believe that they have to go through any period of time where we're trying to watch them to determine if they're really the child of God. The moment they are saved, God has given them the power, and they are a child of God right then. Changed forever. No, sir, they are not waiting on the second blessing, nor the third. They're not there, stand there. Listen, they don't get it just at baptism. No, sir. They get it when they get saved. When God brings a breath of life in them, spiritually speaking, they're saved right then. Abrupt regeneration. I like that, don't you? I'm glad, thank God, I didn't have to wait for a period of time. I'm glad I didn't have to take no classes. I remember as a boy where I used to pastor, got saved. And we was baptized at 16 that day. And he got saved that morning. We went back to baptize the ones that had been previously saved. And he went back there and said, can I be baptized too? We had a baptistry. I said, you sure? I said, you got saved, didn't you? He said, yep. I said, you sure can. Son, he was number 17. I put him in the water right then. Yeah, baptized him. When I got to work Monday morning, Sunday run me down. Said, you should have put that boy through class first. How do you know he really got saved? I said, what are you talking about? My Bible tells me that when somebody gets saved, they're a candidate for baptism right then. Immediately. There ain't no class they got to take. No. As some theology man's tried to work up to get another offering to teach another class. Bless God. I blowed that out in a hurry. Amen. They never did come back to see me no more or talk to me about that. Now listen to me what I'm going to tell you. 1 Corinthians 15 and we're closing. This is it, I promise. I believe when a person gets saved, they are changed in a moment. Don't you? Right then, they're a child of God. Whether you think so or not, whether you vote on it or not, when God saves them, they're saved. You might not like them. Now I'm going to wonder about your salvation. Hello? All right, 1 Corinthians 15. This has bothered me, I'm telling you, for 3 days, and it's going to come out right now, this last point. I believe, last of all, as we go home, that all at once, raptured. Do you believe when Jesus comes, you'll have to wait 6 months? Do you believe when Jesus comes, we'll have to really give you a class on salvation to see if you really get to go or not when Jesus comes for the rapture? Do you believe you have to wait on the second blessing then? What's the Bible say? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I believe all at once, just like you was born again, when Jesus comes all at once, thank God we're going to go. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Woo! Who's he talking to the we to? He's talking we to the church at Corinth and we to the church, the body collectively of believers, the blood-bought crowd in Jesus Christ. He said, we are going to be changed. Woo! We're going to be changed from this old vile body in which we now live. Look at the next verse. It says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, and the dead shall, at the last trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. What's that mean? Incorruptible. What's that mean? Not a chance, thank God, they'll ever be changed again. Woo! Ain't no element going to change them. Ain't nothing going to send them back to this, hear me, and be defeated and live in sin anymore. No, he said, I'll be raised incorruptible. They'll be pure forever and ever. Thank God. When Jesus comes. Hallelujah. Thank God. Keep reading with me now. It says, and we shall be changed. Verse number 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verse number 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, which is pure, sound, incorruptible, cannot be changed. We say to you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I mean, changed right then and there. When Jesus steps out, thank God we that are saved, gone. If our bodies are in the grave, hear me, they're going to come out first. Amen. If we believed Christ when we died. For we that are still alive, we're going to be changed. Right then and there, not waiting on a second blessing, not waiting on a 6-month trial period, not waiting on a 3-year period. Hear me? Not taking a special class to see if we qualify. We'll be changed right then and there. And so, my friend, when you get saved, you become the child of God right then and there. Right in there. Bible says, now are you the sons of God. Now, right now. You know what I've got? I got eternal life. I got it right now. I ain't even living in it yet. But I've got it right now. And it's mine. Why in the world we act the way we do? So miserable, pooch-lipped, and worried, and sorrowful about this old world. Hey, you and I are richer than the millionaires that's on Main Street and down all these big avenues. You and I, my friend, have eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thank God. Thank God. We're going to be going home one day. Because of His work. Because of His Word, and because of His will. Thank you, Lord, for regeneration. I'm done. Stand. Please stand. Somebody told me one time, said, Preacher, that word rapture ain't in the Bible. I said, oh, yeah, you're right. Your name ain't either. Rapture ain't in the Bible. I said, the word in the Greek is the word harpazo. H-A-R-P-A-Z-O. Go look it up. It means to be caught up. To be snatched. To be taken away. To be removed from one place to another. You and I are going to be snatched away. We're going to be picked up from this world and placed in a celestial city. Thank God for harpazo. He's coming again. Amen. Father, we bow our head before you tonight. We bless your name. We thank you for these that's come this way tonight. We pray, God, you'd give them traveling grace and mercy on the way home. We pray, God, you'd take the power of your word which is preached tonight. And I pray, God, you just manifest it unto these folks that listen by way of tape or by these that listen by way of congregation. We ask, Father, your blessings be upon this service. Help us, Lord, as we try to serve you. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As you go home, I do have this little sheet up here if you'd like to have one on some of the notes from the message tonight. And most of you have noticed that the gas prices are going up to $1.56 and $1.57 and $1.58. I remember when I was a little fella, it was about a quarter. But somebody sent me this, and it says regular arm plus costs a leg, and premium costs our firstborn. That's pretty high. You need to come look at it. Didn't know gas had gone that high lately. That's at the Shell station down the hall. God bless you.